There. Dear Lord, I ask you to guide me in my thoughts. Help me to say what I ought to say. Lord, I pray you'd help me to say it in the manner that it needs to be said. But in the same request, I ask you, Lord, help us to receive it as it ought to be received, not from man, but from thee. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to rightly divide the word of truth. And Lord, we just ask you for your grace and mercy in these things, in dividing this to us. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Genesis chapter number 19, verse number 1, it says, "And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, arose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter." Now you need to get that verse. I'm going to drop the "even" so you get the meaning. Verse 4, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, from every, all four corners. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And that's a polite way of doing what Lot says here in the sixth verse, in the seventh verse. "And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." They wanted to have wicked relationships with these two angels. And so I'll bring your attention back to verse number 1. "There came two angels to Sodom at evening," and I want you to this little statement, "and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom." Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. We'll come back to that in a little bit. But in today's society and culture, we are bombarded with statements like these. A person's lifestyle is their own choice. They may say it in several different ways, but they'll say it that way. Number 2, we're not hurting anybody. Our lifestyle's not hurting anybody. We might hear this, just mind your own business. Don't judge. Most people know that verse, judge not lest ye be judged. Used to be the verse that people knew the most was John 3:16. Now what people know, I've got it turned on, I think. Now what people know is judge not lest ye be judged. They don't know John 3:16. So the preeminent verse there is don't judge. But that's exactly what our culture does. They judge everybody. They judge you and me. And so you hear people say, don't judge. You need to be tolerant. Or you need to be open-minded. Or they might say, you're a hater. You're not a Christian because God loves everybody. How many of y'all have heard some of those statements in your lifetime? We've all, most of us, we've been paying attention, have heard statements like that. And these statements don't just come from the world. Some of these statements come from Christian homes. Or what I might say, they come from saved people. Lot was a saved man. But I'm going to tell you, he wasn't a Christian man. There's a vast difference between the two. And so I want to deal with this particular autobiography that God gives us of basically 12 chapters. We've been going through chapter or event by event, mostly chapter by chapter I've been going, but I will skip, sometimes go to events, but there's 12 chapters that are given to the life of Abraham. And God begins to tell us in the 12th chapter about how God's blessing is on Abraham. And God begins to show us his walk of faith, his life in which he lived a life of faith. But in the midst of this biography of Abraham, God brings back to our attention and lifts it off the page in this 19th chapter, the sin of Sodom. Sodom and Gomorrah. And so you cannot pass over it. God brought it there for a reason.
He's dealing with the life of Abraham and continues to deal with it. But Lot was Abraham's nephew. And Lot had made a choice. They had separated from Abraham, and instead of following, and really there was plenty enough room where they could have separated in a sense far as away from in distance, but not away in fellowship. But instead, Lot made his choice to pitch his tent towards Sodom. You can see that in the 13th verse, 13th chapter. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. But here in this 19th chapter, we see him sitting in the gate of Sodom. That means he was a ruler. That means he was some place of authority within the city. He was some sort of municipalities in some way. He may have been a judge. He may have been a counselor. But in some way, he worked for the city of Sodom. He was there in preeminence there as far as in leadership. And so we see him there, Lot set in the gate. And so we cannot pass it off the scenes. In the culture in which we live today, we see the sin of Sodom. And it's very prevalent. Look, I would like to pass over this chapter. I really would. Not because I'm afraid of it. Because I don't want to deal with it. Because I feel like most of you probably don't have that issue in your own personal life. But I will tell you this. Most of you have it somewhere in your family. I guarantee you. Just about every family on the face of this earth has that somewhere in their family. You might not even know about it now. But it's there. And so we need to deal with it. The Bible says preach the whole counsel of God. If I'm going to be true to the Lord, then I have to preach what the counsel of God gives. And God does not just put it there by mistake. He puts it there because he wants us to see it. And he wants us to learn from what Lot did in our own personal life. So I just want to deal with it, share with you some things about this chapter and about really the life of Lot. The first thing I put down, and I wrote down before I said that we need to see it. But we also need to receive it. We need to hear it. Many people in this day and age, when you start talking anything that's not politically correct or their opinion is not according to their opinion, they close you out. They'll tell you to be tolerant, to be open-minded, but they won't. And Peter was one when God told him, you're going to deny me three times. You know what Peter wouldn't do? He wouldn't listen. And many of God's children fall in the same trap because they will not listen. And so please, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. That's not my intent, but I'm going to preach the Word of God. But you need to heed it, and you need to hear it, and you need to receive it. The truth shall make you free. But you have to receive it. You have to receive it in John chapter 8. And so we need to hear the truth. You think about it, when they take an alcoholic or someone fixed in some sort of addiction, the first thing they have to do is admit that they are an alcoholic. And the first thing you never get any help is you have to come to the truth. And that's the truth of God's Word, not our own opinion. The bar, like I said, God sets the bar and it's in His Word. And so I want you to see, first off, the sin of Sodom. The sin of Sodom. In Genesis chapter number 19, verse number 6, I want to just share with you what the Word of God has to say about the sin of Sodom. Verse number 6, it says, Lot went out of the door unto them and shut the door after them. Now you know what happened. They had separated. Abraham and Lot had a conflict, at least their cattlemen did over there. They had so much cattle, they had so much wealth, and their herdmen began to fight amongst each other. And Abraham said, look, let's don't have a fight here amongst the Canaanites. Let's separate. You pick whatever land you want, you pick it, you can have. And so Lot, he pitched his eyes toward Sodom because he said it was like the garden of the Lord and like the land of Egypt. Beautiful. It had lush grass, place, great, perfect place, but he said it was like the land of Egypt. He had come out of Egypt and he liked what he saw in Egypt. He came out of Egypt, but Egypt got into Lot's heart. And when he looked there towards that Sodom and that plain, he said it was like the land of Egypt. That's where I want to go. And so in a sense, he chose Egypt. He chose the world. That's what Egypt stands for. And he chose Sodom instead of being a pilgrim with Abraham and in his tent. He once had a tent. Now he has a house. He's settled. in Sodom. And so he made a choice. And so he says there, he's in this city, and he's there as one of the leaders. These angels come to destroy the city. If you read the chapter before, they had already came to Abraham first, and Abraham, he also made them a meal. The Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, was there, and he spoke with Abraham. Those two angels went on towards Sodom to see if the wickedness was as wicked as it was said to be. And so they went towards Sodom. The Lord stayed with Abraham, and Abraham pleaded for Lot. And he bargained him down. He said, Lord, if there be 50 righteous, he said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Surely you won't destroy the righteous with the wicked. And he said, if there be 50. He said, what about if there's 45? What about if there's 30? What about if there's 20? What about if there's 10? He bargained with the Lord. And the Lord said in each one, if there be 50, 45, 30, 20, or 10, I will spare those cities, those two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. And so that's what happened. Those angels went down. They came in. It was evening time. It was nighttime. Lot sees them. He's sitting at the gate. He invites them to stay, come to his house. He makes them a meal. They first kind of declined, said, no, we're going to stay in the streets all night. How would you be like that in New York City, in the inner city, if you said, no, I'm going to stay out in the street all night? People that live in New York City would say, you need to get off the street. There's other places. I wouldn't do that in Mobile. I don't know if I'd do it in certain places of Foley, just depending where you are. I'm going to get inside the house. And so Lot knew how wicked that city was. He said, he urged him. He said, you stay with us. And so they did. They came in. And so while they did, he fixed them a meal. They ate a meal. As soon as the meal was over, here's all the men. The town had already heard about these two men. The Bible says that all the people, from the old to the young men, came to Lot's house and knocked on the door. And in this sixth verse, it says here that Lot went out to them at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And this is what he said about this, the sin of Sodom. I said, I pray you, brethren, do not so what? Wickedly. And so he calls it wickedness. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 13. Genesis chapter number 13. Why you think I'm not, that I'm callous to this type of sin? I've had it, and I have it in my own family. And I love those people with all my heart. But I'm not going to pass over what the Word of God says. In Genesis chapter number 13, it says there, when they chose, verse number 11, Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But listen what the Bible says, verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And so the Bible says, they were wicked exceedingly. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 18. This is where Abraham is bargaining or pleading with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to read these verses. I'm trying to show you what the Bible says of the sin of Sodom. Not what man says, not what society says, but what God's Word says. And by the way, what God's Word says is what God says. In Genesis chapter number 18, in verse number 22, it says, and the men turned their face from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abram drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the what? Wicked. He says in verse number 24, peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? And the Lord goes on to say, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare the place for their sakes. You know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. It wasn't just those two cities. It was actually all the cities or the plains that God destroyed. God destroyed those cities with fire and brimstone. He utterly destroyed them. And so you see that God calls this, before he destroyed them, he called it wickedness. You say, Brother Sewell, is there somewhere else in the Bible that speaks of this? I want you to turn, if you would, to Leviticus chapter number 18. I'm going to show you what the Bible says, because we're living in this world where they are trying to make it palatable, that it's something that we're unspiritual, we're unloving, But you have to make a choice and decision whether you're going to stand for God and stand with God, or you're going to stand with the world. In Luke chapter number 18, verse number 22, this is what the Lord gave. He said here, he says, verse number 22, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is what? An abomination." In verse Leviticus 18:22, I want you to see it. "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind." God didn't make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. Man for a woman. And God says if a man lays with a mankind, that it is an abomination before God. I want you to look in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse number 13. Leviticus 20 and verse number 13 says, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." This is God's word, and this is what God says. It's not what man says. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God still's just as vile about this sin as he did in the Old Testament. And so God said that this is an abomination for him. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter number 1. I'm just trying to show you from the scriptures you see in the Old Testament. But turn in your Bible, if you would, to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. I'm going to read a few portions of scriptures here, but I really challenge you to read all of the first chapter. So you'll see what the Lord says about this sin. And this is not just the sin of the city of Sodom. This is a sin of our world. But I've named it the sin of Sodom. Matter of fact, God calls it in the book of Kings, calls them Sodomites. That's what the Lord calls them in the book of Kings. I didn't give that verse for you, but Romans chapter number 1, verse number 18, I want you to read these, follow along with me. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now I want you to skip on down to verse number 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Now I want you to look at verse number 24. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Now look, these people he's talking about, those that are going into homosexuality or have been. He said they knew the truth. They knew the truth about the Lord God. They know that it is an abomination. They know it's a sin. And they know the truth about God. But he's saying they reject from the truth. And he says they'll even change the truth. In verse number 25, "who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the Creator more than the creation, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Amen. Verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up." Now in verse number 24, it says God gave them up. In verse number 26, it says God gave them up. And in verse number 28, it says God gave them over. Now, brother, I want to tell you something. That is a warning. Because God will deal with a man, deal with a woman so long. But finally, he gives them over to their own lustful desires, to their own sinfulness. God is a merciful God. But eventually, he gives a man up and says, "You can have your own way." Verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense or the reward of their error which is due or meet." That's what the Bible says. God says he gave them up and gave them up and gave them over. Look, if you would, in the 32nd verse. Talking about these people, he said, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I wrote down, the sin of Sodom is a sin of the last days. The sin of Sodom is a sin of the last days. When the disciples asked, They said, Lord, what it will be when you come back? What's the time? What would it be like? Are there any signs of the times? And he said, in Luke chapter 17, you read for yourself, he said, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. Now, Noah preached for 120 years, but the Bible said of Noah's day that their imagination and their heart was wicked, and it was imagination was only continually wicked in there in Noah. But it also says in Luke chapter 17, it also says it'll be like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the last days is a sign there when we have rampant homosexuality and it's being crammed down our political throats, as far as legalized, trying to make it legal. That's the sign of the last days. Matter of fact, when Paul talked to Timothy in 2 Timothy, he said in the third chapter, he says, perilous times. In other words, it's going to come. And he says, one of the signs of the perilous times, I wrote it down here, is he says, they will be, in verse number 3, without natural affections. He also calls it vile affections. These are the sins of Solomon. So it's the sin of the last days. The sin of Sodom is a sin of rejecting the truth of God. You read Romans chapter number 1, they rejected the truth and the light they had been given. I have told this church and I have told those in the chapel through the years I've been here, I said it is very important that the light that you receive, you do something with it. The Word of God is God's light. If you don't do anything with this light, I won't tell you, it's going to bring hardness to your heart. And you wonder why our world's hardened and calloused? It's because they will not do anything with the light that God has showed them and revealed to us. When God speaks to your heart, do something with it. Make it right. And the same thing, I will tell you, the hardest children, and I've taught Sunday school, and I've taught children's church, and I've taught children pretty much all the way from 20 years up and up. And the worst children, the hardest children to turn back to God, are the church and religious children. It's because they've heard the truth and they rejected it. And they've done it on their own. And that's the same thing with these people. They know the truth and they turn from it. It is very important you get them under the truth and you help them obey the truth. And so it is a sin, like I said, the sin of Sodom is rejecting the truth. The sin of Sodom is the sin of following a lie. And the Bible says in Romans chapter number 1, that they turn the truth of God into a lie. Let me read some notes from another pastor there. He wrote on this about the lifestyle, about what does God say about gay rights. He says they're lies. He lists as one. God's Word speaks clearly about the issue of homosexuality in Romans chapter 1. He see we read in verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. There are many lies associated with a homosexual lifestyle. They say that it's a civil rights issue. Homosexuality is a lifestyle, not a nationality or a race. You cannot equate this with the civil rights of minorities or racial groups. It is not a civil rights issue. It is a sinful lifestyle issue. And that's what they're doing right now, trying to get it passed by a civil rights issue. People are born this way. No scientific researcher in the world is willing to say that a person are born homosexuals. It is a sin and a matter of choice, not a matter of truth. They say this lifestyle is gay. In other words, a happy lifestyle. This way of living is anything but gay. It's a lifestyle of bondage. The only way out is to believe the truth. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We want to be left alone, is what they say. This too is a lie. The only way this lifestyle can continue is to be recruiting others into this sin. Now listen, I listened to a radio station Friday afternoon on the way to my mother's, or actually I think my sister's birthday party. And we were having a meal, and I was listening to this, and there was a 17-year-old boy being interviewed about his mother was putting dresses on this 7-year-old boy and calling him a girl. He was in that impressionable stage. She was painting his fingernails. She was putting makeup on him. And yet he said, I think when asked, he said, yes, I'm a girl. Who was teaching him that? Whoever this lady was. I didn't continue to listen to it because, to be honest with you, I didn't want to listen to it. And so it has to be recruited. They want to be left alone, they say, and that's a lie. Tolerance is the goal. Homosexual activists claim they are promoting tolerance and diversity. This is a lie. Their real goal is to indoctrinate a generation to believe that homosexuality is a normal and acceptable lifestyle. There's other things I could read, but for the sake of time, I won't. The sin of Sodom in the book of Genesis, verse number 19, is the sin that we are in today. It is in the book of beginnings, but it's also at the ending of the end of time. And so it's the sin of Sodom. And I want you to see what the Bible has to say about the sin of Sodom. Let me tell you this. Not only that, the sin of Lot. The sin of Lot. Genesis chapter number 19, verse number 1, where we started, he said, "And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom." I've already told you that Lot made a decision. He made a choice. Look, if you would, in Genesis chapter number 18 and verse number 1. "And the Lord appeared unto him," they're talking about Abraham, "in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day." Abraham was the one that was given the blessings. Abraham was the one that followed the Lord. Abraham was the one that sought God. And he said, God told him, he said, "You go to a land," he said, "I'll bless you. You go to a land that I will show you." And the Bible says he dwelt in tents looking for a city that whose builder and maker is God. That's where he looked. And he sojourned. So a tent spoke about him being a pilgrim. He was had faith in God. That's what his tent spoke of. But Lot, you see here, in the 13th chapter we already read, the Bible said he had his tent pitched towards Sodom. But in the 19th chapter, the first verse, he says that he came, Lot sat in the gate. So here he is, an official. He invited these two angels into his home, not his tent. What happened? Lot made a choice. Lot forsook his tent and went after the world of Sodom. And he made that conscious choice. He said, "I'd rather have Sodom and I'd rather have what my father Abraham has." He made a choice. And that's Abraham made the right choice, but Lot made the wrong choice. Do you know that Lot was his nephew? He knew all the blessings that Abraham had. He had just as much chance as Abraham had, but he made a choice. And by the way, when he made that choice for himself, but also for all of his family. And so Lot's choice was his sin. He chose Sodom instead of a tent, instead of being a pilgrim, instead of following with the Lord. I'm sure Lot, if you were to ask him, he had convinced himself, he'd have some things he might say like this. "Well, there's good schools in Sodom. They got great education down there in Sodom. There's better education. There's better opportunities for my kids over there in Sodom. They have better entertainment. It's good entertainment. It's not bad entertainment. There's some good entertainment there in Sodom." You've heard people there. They always have their excuses. They'll have the things. And I'm sure at first they said, "You know what? We're just living outside of Sodom. We'll stay outside of Sodom. But we could go into Sodom when we wanted to and enjoy some of the lifestyle of Sodom and not be part of Sodom." That's not where it starts. It always starts one step downward. And Lot took his step downward and he kept going down. And so they might say that they enjoyed the entertainment. There's good business opportunities in Sodom. That's what Lot was all about, money. All about what he could do with his herd, his cattlemen, how much money he could make. There are good people down in Sodom. Have you ever heard people make a decision as far as where they're going to live based on a financial status? They never stop for any purpose to find out, is this God's will for my life? Is it God's will for my life? And so Lot made a choice, and he made a choice, like I said, for his own life. I want to just share with you at least what this sinful choice, what it did to the life of Sodom and to his family. When Lot had settled there in Sodom, you couldn't find 10 righteous. I'm talking about when God came to destroy it. I don't know how many were there. The Bible says when he first made his choice, they were exceedingly wicked before the Lord. But in the 19th chapter, I don't know how many years went by, but the Bible says that there were not 10 righteous within those cities. Lot, if it wasn't for 2 Peter chapter number 2, I believe it's verses 7 and 8, we would not know at all that Lot was saved. We wouldn't know it. If you looked at Lot, looked at his lifestyle, looked at his choices, you would think he is lost as lost can be. But the Bible, in the New Testament, Peter declares that he's a just man, he was a righteous man. So he was saved, but he wasn't Abraham. He was a saved man, not a Christian man. And he, as a saved man, made the wrong choice. And his choice, like I said, caused him really all of his life and cost his family. He had no witness whatsoever. Lot offered his two virgins, daughters, to these wicked men. I want you to look at verse number 8 in Genesis chapter number 19. These men want to have these two angels. Look at what it said in verse number 8. But now, this is what Lot says, "But now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and ye do to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." I mean, he's willing to sacrifice his two virgin daughters for these two able, capable men. How far had Lot gone? How many of y'all would offer your children to be defiled in any way, shape, or form? And that's exactly how Lot, how far he had gone. Here he's a saved man. Lot witnessed to his family, was totally lost. Look at verse number 14. And Lot, the angels told him, said, "Look, you need to..." They blinded those men. And by the way, while they blinded those men wearied themselves looking for the door. Blinded. That's how wicked they were. They still looked for the door to get in. Blinded by those angels. And those angels pulled Lot in and said, "If you have anybody in this city, some other children, you need to go get them out." And so he goes here in the 14th verse. He goes, Lot went out, spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. It was just a mockery. You know what they did? They didn't take his witness because he had none. Saved, no witness. Couldn't even save his daughters that were married, and so he had no witness. Even when he was asked, told by the angels, look at verse number 16. While he lingered, the men told him, "You need to get out." They woke him up in the morning, early in the morning, before daylight, and said, "You need to get your family and get out." The Bible says in the 16th verse that they lingered, that while he lingered, the men laid hold upon him and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. They had to drag Lot out of Sodom. Drag him out of Sodom. He lingered and then he argued. You can keep on reading. He argued. He said, they said, "You need to flee to the mountain. Get out of the plain. Flee to the mountain. Don't you look back." And Lot, while there, argued with those angels, said, "Can't I go to the city of Zoar and stay in that city?" You know where Lot first started out when he left Abraham? In the city of Zoar, pitched toward Sodom. Instead of going all the way back to where Abraham was, he wanted to go back to that Zoar city. Wasn't full of repentance. He didn't want to go all the way back. He still wanted to have Sodom. Sodom was in him, saved man. And so he sat there, and you know what? The angel said, "All right, you can go to Zoar. You can go to that city of the plain." Even was merciful and gave him that. And so he left. Lot, he told him not to turn, his wife not to turn around. His wife turned around, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. The Bible says of a Christian, we're supposed to be salt and light. But he said, when the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing, be cast out and trodden underfoot. You know what she was? She was a picture of a Christian that had no salt and had no light and was good for nothing. She had been in Sodom so long that Sodom was in her heart. She desired Sodom. It wasn't just because of the sorrow of her children. She wanted Sodom. Because Lot made a choice. And it was the wrong choice. It was a sin of Sodom, but it was also the sin of Lot. Lot's two daughters, if you keep on reading the end of this, they thought they did flee to the mountain, hide in the cave, and the two daughters got him drunk and decided to have incest with their own father. Never thought about, hey, is this God's will? Is this what we ought to do? Nothing whatsoever had any about God at all. Sounds like the world's children. Not a saved man's child, does it? Because he made a wrong choice. Made a wrong choice. If you were to ask Lot, say, maybe talk to Lot, you say, "Lot, what kind of influence do you have down there in Sodom? Did you save 1,000? Did you lead 1,000 to Christ?" He said, "No." Lot, what about 50? No. Lot, what about 40? No. Lot, what about 30? No. Lot, what about 20? No. Lot, what about 10? No. You have to wonder in your own life, how many are we leading to the Lord? Are we living for Sodom? Are we living for heaven? I preached a message Wednesday night. I said there's three things that stands in the gap between the living and the dead. A righteous man, a witnessing people, and a praying people. Abraham was that type of person. Lot was not that person at all. Saved, but he wasn't righteous. He was saved, but he wasn't a witness. He was saved, and he wasn't praying. You want to know what turns this world back around? Spares God's wrath on it? Is those people, as God's people, standing in the gap. If you ask Lot, Lot, how much money did you make down in Sodom? Oh, I made a lot. Lot, how much money did you keep? None. Lot, what about your family? Are any of them serving the Lord? Any of them serving for God? Not one. Not one. All because he made his choice to live for Sodom. We have to think the whole thing. But can I say this? Not only that, real quick, is the mercy of God. The mercy of God. I've already read to you about verse number 16. It says, the Lord being merciful unto him. In verse number 27, it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Let me just share with you a little bit about the mercy of God. God was long-suffering for the souls of Sodom and Gomorrah. You wonder what it's going to be like till the Lord comes back? I want to tell you something. It's going to get dark. There's one preacher who says it's going to get gloriously dark. It's an opportunity to be a light. And so we need to be a light in the world in which we live. But God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God is a merciful God. He was willing to listen to Abraham, who stood in the gap for Lot. You say, Brother Sewell, how can I change? How can I help? You can stand in the gap. You can pray. Abraham prayed, and God answered his prayer. He may have destroyed the city, but he spared Lot even still. I read you the verse, if it wasn't for Lot, if it wasn't for Abraham, Lot wouldn't have been spared. And so you could be an Abraham if you're not a Lot. Hope you're not a Lot. God still even went back and could not find 10, but he spared Lot and his family and tried to save them. I mean, think about it. I mean, he was no witness at all, but God still took them out. Matter of fact, the Bible says, he said, the angel said, I cannot destroy this place till you get out. That's God's mercy. And so God is a merciful God. God allows, like I said, God even allowed, I mentioned to you about Zoar. He prayed and said, let me go to the city of Zoar, the city of the plain. That's the city it was. And so he allowed him to do that. And we talk about amazing grace. The amazing thing is Jesus Christ died for these men, these Sodomites. The Lord Jesus Christ died for them. Unless we think we're something, we might not have committed the sin of sodomy or homosexuality. But we're just as much a sinner in the sight of God as a homosexual. And God made a way by his grace and mercy through the offering of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is a merciful God. And he makes a way. And so God makes a way for them and made a way for you. God makes a way, like I said, through Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question. When the judgment comes, will you be like Abraham with no worries? Will you be like Lot? You're only saved by fire. Everything that you have is burnt up. But you have a home in heaven. That's it. You lost your family. You've lost everything else. Or you'll be like the people of Sodom. In the eternal fire for all eternity. You cannot gloss over what God put 38 verses in the middle of Abraham's life, because God brings it to our attention again. There's a sin of Sodom. There's a sin of our choices. It matters what choices you make and I make. There is the mercy of God. You can turn to the Lord and find mercy. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.